Hi, welcome to Long Arm Stapler, a podcast about zines. I am Mayra, your host, and today I am joined by Zeba, who is a zine librarian and zinester and all around great person. Hi.
Hi, thank you for having me. Thank you for the intro.
No problem. So I have a few questions about zine librarianship and a few questions about how you got into zines. So let's jump in.
Yes.
So how did you get into making zines? How long have you been making zines?
I found out about zines in the 90s at high school. I went to Long Beach Poly High School, home of the Jackrabbits. I'm class of 2000, so over two decades ago now, I graduated. My friend Rena made zines as a hobby. She had an older sister that was into Riot Girl and made mixtapes with Bratmobile and Bikini Kill. And I think that influenced my friend to also listen to those bands and make zines. So she had a zine called Luna and Tuna and asked her friends to contribute by doing a little drawing or making a movie review or a joke or any little thing. She's like, just give me something and I'll put it in my zine and distribute to everyone for free for fun. So I never made my own zines until 2012, the first LA Zine Fest at the Last Bookstore in downtown LA. They had a call for zinesters, the first ever LA Zine Fest, get a table. And I knew it would be really cool to bring it back from the 90s for Rena, for her birthday was also December. I think that's when the tables were due. So I bought a table and I was like, this is your birthday present, make a zine again. And then I said, well, now I'll make a zine too for the first time. Now that it's a thing right now, let me get back into it or start it in 2012 on my own. So I made a zine for the first time then and tabled, and the rest is history. So
that's awesome that you were able to kind of bring it back and like get back into it, especially for such a big zine fest. I know it was the first one, but LA Zine Fest is like one of the heavy hitters on the West Coast for sure.
Yeah, I was surprised I got in. It was three of us for a table, a half table. So I made up a distribution label. I called ourselves Three Amigos Press because we were three friends from Long Beach Poly High School in the 90s. So it was my friend Simon, my friend Rena, and I, and we each had our own zines on the half table. And I had little buttons that said Three Amigos Press that my friend designed that were like the movie Three Amigos.
Nice. Do you remember what your first zine was about?
Yeah, I just used what I had. I had a scrapbook for 3 years. I was collecting 8.5 by 11, big scrapbook. I was just on my own taking music posters from my dorm room in college that I just moved out of and graduated from. And I wanted to cut it up and put it in a scrapbook. So from 2006, the scrapbook had a lot of band posters and then anything else I liked. So I just had like photos from the photo booth and stickers and stamps and some doodles, but it was mostly cut and paste, especially zebras. I really like zebras, so I had that in there. So it was like a journal of my life, a visual journal of my life for 3 years. And then I said, this will work for 2012 Zine Fest, since I had this scrapbook from 2006 to 2009. So I photocopied it in color and in black and white, and I shrunk it so it was smaller, like half of a 8.5 by 11, and then made it into a booklet and stapled it. And I just used my favorite pages because it was a large scrapbook. So I said, all these will be the best of the best. And I called it Zebra Radar Zine. But I did have so many that I broke it up into volume one and volume two. And that was my first zines.
That's awesome. And Zebra Radar is, you're still using that name, correct?
Yes, it was on hiatus when I had our partner project, and then I went back to it after I stopped my partner project. So my Instagram is Zebra Radar Zine, And I think there's still 3amigospress.tumblr.com as a zine page on Tumblr where it started from 2012 and is still on. So then also Facebook, Zebra Radar Zine. So you can, and you could just use the hashtag on Twitter. So I think you'll find it everywhere. I even made a video. I digitized my zine into an animation for a grad school program for a visual video. And that's on, I think, YouTube and Vimeo, as well as a Zebra Radar Zine digital story.
That's so cool. So you are a librarian. And you started the zine library at the Baldwin Hills Library in LA?
Yes, in 2017. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but when I started that job for the system, I had just come from Long Beach Public Library, where I helped start a zine library there. And I didn't want to stop working with zines, so I asked if I could circulate them at that branch. And then a year later, other librarians joined in at their branch. So now we have 7 branches at Los Angeles Public Library circulating zines, and they are cataloged. So there's over 1,000 zines in the catalog, and the website is lapl.org/zines, where you can find blogs about zinesters that a coworker does a lot of, but I'm hoping to do one with you for in the next few months.
Yeah, hell yeah.
So.
So I know that a lot of libraries are closed right now or are doing like curbside pickup only. Are zines able to be checked out right now?
Yes, I even saw one a few weeks ago. The blogs really help because then it brings the spotlight on the materials that, oh, this is part of a library, I can check them out. So you can place a hold through the catalog, and it'll go to the nearest curbside pickup location. 26 of 73 are open for curbside pickup. And you can get that zine sent over. It'll take a few days, and you'll pick it up in a bag. It'll already be checked out to you, and it'll be in front of the library at the time you schedule your pickup appointment. Checked out to you for free.
Oh, cool. So you can get it, like, from any library's zine library.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if they're active, most libraries' staff are working from home, so they don't go in a lot. So depending how active that zine library staff is, they can pull the zine and send it over, hopefully within a week.
That's so cool. I don't think my library has a zine library, but I should petition because I think that'd be really cool. I think Berkeley Public Library has a zine library, but I'm honestly not too plugged into the Bay Area zine library scene, and I should change that.
Yeah, I know it's big in Oakland Public Library. You could check it out with your library card, and I know San Francisco Public Library has a really cool zine collection that's in-house only, not for checking out, but it's still worth going in person and asking. Well, I guess if they're not open to the public, that'd be hard to do.
It's something that to look forward to, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Once things are open and safe.
And even now with everything closed, a lot of libraries do zine workshops through Zoom and Google, so a video chat. And so I've helped host a few of those, and I'm gonna help host a couple this coming March as well.
Oh, cool. Through your library?
Through our system, yeah. I think it's advertised for teens. This is a quarantine teen workshop on March 30th at 4 p.m.
Awesome. I will get that information from you and post it in the show notes as well.
Oh, cool.
So how did you get into library science, I guess?
Oh, yeah, that was something I fell into. I was doing pre-med bio-sci at UC Irvine straight out of high school, and then joined the public radio station on my campus, KUCI, so got more involved with music and didn't really focus on getting into medical school, so I didn't end up using that degree. and my job as a student was working at the library. So I said, well, might as well continue this profession since I'm here. So then I needed to get a master's degree to even apply to be a librarian. So I worked on getting into grad school, which I needed a second degree to bring my GPA up. So I got a bachelor's of art in film and media studies at UC Irvine while working full-time staff as a library assistant at the UC Irvine libraries after graduation. So I stayed on that campus 13 years at UC Irvine and got 2 degrees as well as a online and in-person master's degree from University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign in the Midwest. So that's the first time I've ever been to Chicago, was going to library school those 2 years, which was 2010 to 2012. And then I was applying at least to 18 different positions once I got my degree, and I got one offer to work in Orange County at the Orange County Public Libraries in the Costa Mesa branch. So that was my first librarian position as a public librarian, because I had always been in academic librarianship just because that's where I got my degree. So I thought I would stay in academic librarianship, but I think that was harder to get into. So I just used what I could get and had a full-time job at Orange County, then Long Beach, and now Los Angeles.
Cool.
That's why I guess since I fell into it, I kind of just, what I like, I try to put into it. So I like film, I like music, I like zines, and that's fun for me to stay happy at my job.
Yeah, that's awesome that you're able to like bring in these aspects that you really love and kind of make it work for you while you're working.
Yes, I love reading as well, of course, but that's just, yeah, part of the job.
So you also used to be an organizer for Long Beach Zine Fest. How was that experience?
It was really cool tabling the first year in 2015. I heard it was harder to get into than Los Angeles because it was a smaller space. So I was surprised I got into the first one there. And then I was asked to help organize in 2016 when I was at the Orange County Public Library and then had moved to Long Beach Public Library and started the Long Beach, helped start the Long Beach Zine Library. Then it was more of a fit that, oh, let's have you help organize as a librarian from Long Beach Public Library and a zinester that has tabled here. So this, when people left, they needed someone. So I was lucky to work with that group and learn about organizing in 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019. I think I did it 4 years. And then, of course, we were on hiatus 2020. And it seems like we're in hiatus 2021. But hopefully we get back into it because I love supporting zines at my hometown because I'm born and raised Long Beach, California, where I grew up and learned about zines in high school. So it really helps me to stay connected to my community. And now that I even started a Long Beach Public Radio show once a week since September of last year, it's even more like a tie-in to Long Beach, even though I don't work at the public library anymore.
Yeah, you're really bringing it.
But I mean, to get more to your question, organizing it is it's a thankless job. We don't get paid. We're volunteers, but it's very fulfilling because it's my hometown and because it's such a big event that everyone brings something. As an organizer, everyone brings something unique to the team. We have one person focusing on live bands, booking them for the Zine Fest, another person focusing on music, food carts, bringing them to the Zine Fest. So another one was more like community organizations, tabling, nonprofits. And then the Zinester organizers, the organizers. So all together, it works out. And hopefully it comes back. It's a lot of fun. So
yeah, it's cool that you're able to bring it full circle for Long Beach. And so it's like where you got into zines and you're also able to bring zines to the community there again.
Yeah, I love that. And I hope the Long Beach Zine Library is growing and living, because I think it really takes the community wanting zines and also at least one dedicated full-time librarian that is going to watch the zines and love the zines and grow the zine library.
And I love Long Beach Zine Fest. It's been one of my favorite fests since it started. I think that was my first, like, out-of-town zine fest that I ever went to. And I remember driving down... Well, the first one that I ever participated in, out of town. And it was really fun driving down and just hanging out with my friends and meeting all new people. Because at that point, I had only ever tabled in the Bay Area. And a lot of Bay Area zine events are the same people. Which isn't necessarily a bad thing. A lot of the people are amazing and really great and really creative. But it was cool getting out of town. And I remember I tabled the first year and was like, wow, this is so cool. It's so well organized. And then I think I've tabled every year since then. I think I maybe missed 2018 because I was working weekends at the time. But really great fest, really great organizers, just well put together in every sense, I think.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I owe it all to the teammates. So I hope everyone's still on board because, you know, people change jobs and grow families and change some interests. So who knows if it's coming back. I hope so.
We're not starting yet, but for East Bay Zine Fest, I don't know, like, who's going to be on board this year, because it's hard to plan an online fest. We did ours online last year, and I don't think things will be, like, open and safe by December of this year, unfortunately. So hoping everyone comes back, but I also understand that it's, like, really hard to juggle regular organizing on top of life, but then when you make everything digital and you're just plugged in all the time, it's very draining. So I get it.
It is. That's why, yeah, I'm guessing more hiatus until we're all safer outside instead of safer at home.
Would love to be safe outside right now.
Yeah. I did table San Francisco Zine Fest once. So that was nice being in that outdoor area, community room, and also, like you said, seeing people that I don't normally see, because LA, Long Beach, and Orange County Zine Fest is all kind of the same people, because it's all like Southern California, so it's nice driving up and seeing a different scene. It's like, oh, I didn't know these people.
It's like, yeah, it's like opposites.
Yeah.
So there's like a zine librarian, I'm trying to think of the right word. Well, there's the Zine Librarian Unconference. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Oh, yes. We had ours just this past Halloween weekend to overlap with Day of the Dead. So it was a three-day international online zine library worker unconference. Since we're not necessarily all librarians, but we love zines and zine libraries and the zine community. So it was great to see everybody from all over, in all time zones, doing live presentations for the first time, because in the past they were in-person conferences, and I helped host the first one I ever went to at Long Beach Public Library, which was 2017, so when I started at LA, but I had already set it to be in Long Beach, because they switch every year where it's going to be, so I never had been in the past, because it was always somewhere you had to fly out to, and I didn't have the money necessarily or time off to go. So it was great they came to Long Beach and I could see how great the event was. So I kept going after that when I could. So I went to the Minneapolis, Minnesota one was the last one I went to in person. And that was really cool to be at a college dorm and hang out with zine librarians and talk about zines. And a lot of them are academic librarians, so they make zines so different, like educational primary sources, like so special and unique, and they have to be in an archive or don't take them home. And I don't know, it's just a whole different experience to talk about zines with all different people from all over. And that those were mostly from the United States, so this one online was even more mind-blowing because we had presentations from Athens, Greece, and I think Thailand, Indonesia, and Hong Kong, and then the UK, and Scotland, and Edinburgh, like everywhere. It was like, wow, zines are really everywhere, and every language, and all over the world. It's crazy seeing that they gave us video tours of their libraries and their community. A lot of them are community libraries, not necessarily public libraries or even academic libraries. These are like pop-up, like, this is our zine fest, this is our zine library, this is our zine workshops. And we had a presentation from India. And I was like, wow. And they were just talking about rich kids making zines in India versus poor kids making zines in India. And they're saying how, like, oh, don't call zines if you're rich, because those aren't zines. Zines are for us. And it was just very interesting hearing a whole different world's wide perspective. And those, I think, are online. If you go to the website, you can watch the presentations. They were recorded. So that's like zinelibraries.info.
That's really cool. I feel like that conversation, specifically the one that the zine librarians from India were having, that kind of lines up with the, like, art book versus zine debate that I see a lot, especially at the bigger zine fests. So it's interesting that that is happening kind of all over the place. It's like a global zine thing.
Definitely. And I'm interested in international zines because when it was safe to travel, I like to travel to different countries. And I always want to know where are the zines, because I know there's zines all over the world. But I was like, it's not on the tourist map. I can't just go find the zines. Like, I never lived here. So I'm like, where are the zines? Where are the zines? And then when I ask other people, they say, oh, just look for the punks. When you find the punks, you'll find the zines. I was like, oh, okay. So I have to ask a different question, not where the zines. I have to ask, where are the punks? Where's the punks? So then I'll find.
That's good advice.
So I was asking the wrong question. Yeah.
What other kinds of presentations are there at the UnConference?
Oh, so many, because since it's not a formal conference, they let you decide what you want to hear. So when it starts as the UnConference, the first is, okay, what do you all that are here want to learn and take away? So they'll make that a session, and whoever wants to go goes. So it's up to whoever shows up to the conference, UnConference, to make up the topic. So it was everything you could think of, like teaching with zines, cataloging zines, how to get your institution to buy in to having zines, like how to advocate for zines. And then also, it was interesting to me talking about zinesters wanting their zines removed from the library or edited in the catalog. So deciding, like, okay, it's not the library's material because it's a zine, it's a zinester's material. So respect the zinester. Unlike books, we wouldn't do that with books. We would leave it in because it's the library's, because the authors went through a publisher and we purchased it. It's the library's, but zines are different. Even though we purchased it, we have to respect the zinester, and we have to give them the power to edit their catalog record if they changed their name or didn't want their identity on there or anything. Zines are a different type of material. So that's very interesting to hear a discussion about. It's just, I feel like it'd be hard to maybe explain that to other non-zine librarians.
That concept, though, is, I think it's why a lot of people prefer zine making to traditional publishing, is you have more control over the content and kind of the distribution.
Yeah, I think so. That's why, because zines, it's do it yourself. You put it in whatever you want. But then it's up to you to promote it as much as you can and sell it as much as you want to sell it. That's why, for me personally, it's not a business, it's a hobby, and I know I'll lose money doing it, but it's just fun to be a part of it.
Agreed. So. Let's see. Do you have any projects you're working on now that you want to highlight?
Yeah, the zine workshops. We do a continuous one with the Los Angeles Public Library, which is the second Wednesday of every month on Zoom at 6 p.m., and that's all ages. And all us zine librarians take turns hosting them on Zoom. So we had one pair hosted January and February, and another is hosting it March, April. And I'm either doing May, June, or July, August. I forget which one. But come to all of them. And that's the second Wednesday at 6 p.m. through the, and you can find it on lapl.org, especially if you go to lapl.org/zines, because it has all the zine events, the zine blogs, the zine lists. And so that's, I guess, plugging zines in the LA system. Yeah.
Are those workshops themed, or is it just kind of like a free-for-all making zines?
Yeah, they generally, it depends on the host. So the last two were free-for-all. I think this March is Women's History Month is a theme. And then I think Pride Month will be the Pride theme. And July, our International Zine Month, will be focused on, I think, more international zines maybe or something.
Cool. That's in July, right?
Yes.
International Zine Month.
And I'm pretty sure that's one I'm hosting. So I think I was going to have a guest and talk about zine librarian unconference a little bit, because that was so international. I want to introduce whoever shows up to all the zine libraries around the world that I learned about last year.
That's so cool.
So mark your calendars. Second Wednesday of July.
Yes. Second Wednesday of July. I'm putting it on my calendar right now.
Thank you.
Or I will after this, but I will do it.
Yay.
Do you still do collage zines, kind of like when you started?
Yes, for the most part. I like to cut out images from discarded books and magazines, so like decoupage. It's harder to find zebras, though, so I'll have to draw my own zebras in sometimes. But this whole pandemic has been more of a quarantine theme, with different types of prompts from the online zine workshops I've been to, hosted elsewhere. And they the themes are more like, what are you looking forward to when the pandemic's over? So I have some that have answers to some questions, like my answer is live shows. I want to be in the pit again, front row at a big, huge concert that I'm actually was supposed to go to May 2020. I have a sold out ticket for System of a Down front row. And then that got pushed to May 2021. And now it's officially on for October of this year, which I'm not sure if that's really happening, but hopefully, because I will be front row. But I know it'll be different. I wonder how they're gonna limit the pit if it's sold out. If they're gonna make it you can't be front row, or I don't know how they're gonna do it. I don't know. Or still have to wear masks in the pit, and who knows.
Yeah, things are going to be very different in a lot of ways that I like don't really know how to imagine, I think.
Yes, like at the library, they're installing like plexiglass for our circulation desk and reference desk. So I never would have imagined, yeah, working at the public library with a plastic, you know, divider in front of my face. I think of that more for like the bank when they don't want to get robbed. But it's just like, oh, okay, well, we don't want you to breathe on us, so here's a plastic screen in front of her. So it's like, oh, okay. This will be different.
Yeah, I feel like the way people are going to interact with each other in public is definitely going to, I wonder if it's going to change forever, or if there's going to be like a point where we can be like, okay, no more plexiglass barriers.
Yeah, I think little by little it will dissolve back to normal, but not anytime soon. And some people may never revert back to the way it was pre-pandemic because of their own anxiety. I see people at the market with that are like next to me, and they tell me, oh, you're too close, when I'm just like walking by. So I'm not even like right behind them. So I'm just like, okay, lady. So stuff like that, I think.
It's hard because the aisles in a grocery store aren't even 6 feet wide.
Yeah. So it's like, well, I'm trying to get here. And some markets still are crowded. They're not really enforcing the limit of how many people can be in the grocery store at once. So depends where you go, I guess, how they enforce it.
The grocery store is pretty much the only place that I have been semi-regularly in the last year. And we're only going like once every 2 weeks. But that's just life now. is like we go at 7 a.m. on a weekday, get our groceries for 2 weeks, and then go home and then stay home.
That's good. Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, at the library, I'm one of the curbside pickup locations. This is where I'm staffed at, which is Palms Rancho Park branch, and we're not. So I do go in 3 times a week working indoors with coworkers. So that's different. But we've been doing that since July of last year, I think, or June. So I've been in the library, yeah, with people 8 hours a day. But we don't really stay close to each other physically, and we've spread out our breaks, so we're not in the same place eating or drinking or breathing. So hopefully things stay safe and get safer with more interaction.
Yeah, I miss in-person zine fests a lot, and just being able to be in the same room as a community that I identify with, and being able to like talk to people face to face and trade, and I don't know, it feels so far away in both directions. Like I feel like the last fest I went to in person was almost exactly a year ago. It was February 2020, Dear Diary Zine Fest, and who knows when the next fest I'll get to go to will be in person. So just, I don't know, I really miss that like in-person connection to other people.
Yeah, maybe they could do Joshua Tree Zine Fest, because that one was always outdoors, or at least it was the last time I went to it. It was in the desert, like pop-up tables. So the desert was so big and tree, they could really space everyone out. Maybe they could do that.
Start a petition.
Yeah.
That's one that I always wanted to go to, was Joshua Tree Zine Fest. I've never been to Joshua Tree, but it's on my list of places to go someday. It's just very beautiful from all the photos I've seen.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, I should go back soon.
More easily accessible for you, I think.
3-day weekend. Yeah, I think it's 2 hours. Not that bad. But I do want to go to up north as well, Northern California. I know that's like 8 hours, though, if I drive safely. That's longer, but I'm reading a book now that makes me want to go. It was San Francisco of 1978, and it's really cool.
So you need a car and a time machine.
Yeah. Although, I guess, no, I wouldn't want to go necessarily. Well, yeah, they would talk a lot about live shows in this book, and the punk scene, and they were like, oh, let's go see a show the Dead Kennedys are playing. And I was like, oh, that'd be cool to see in 1978 in San Francisco.
What book is it?
It's called Music from Another World. Oh, look, that's right here.
Music from Another World.
Yeah, and the back says, gay rights are human rights. So it has a lot about, it's historical fiction. Change the rules, not yourself. That's the slogan. It's really cool because they're pen pals. One's in Orange County, one's in San Francisco, and both of their families are conservative, or at least their parents are. So they're like, and they're 17 years old, and so they're hiding their identity from their parents. And so it's really cool to read. I'm almost done with it, but yeah, it starts in the summer of 77, and so I highly recommend it because it's a good, like, about California, and it just was published last year in 2020.
Cool.
So I'm doing the audiobook, though, so you can listen to it. I like to listen so that I multitask and walk and listen, or drive and listen, do things, wash dishes and listen. So
that sounds really, really cool. I'll have to check it out.
It's by Robin Talley, T-A-L-L-E-Y.
Well, that's all the questions I have. Do you have anything else that you want to talk about?
Just thank you for having me. I know you've been doing this for a while, so I'm glad I get to be on it. And I hope people find it interesting, what I have to share. And if you want to learn more, check out my music show. That's every week. It's on mixcloud.com/DJZBizzy. Z-I-B-A-Z.
Cool. I'll include that in the show notes as well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's not a podcast, but I do back announce every 4 songs, so within the hour I give some updates about things happening around town and me.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you for doing this. It was great catching up. I haven't seen you in a while. And yeah, it was really fun talking to you about zines.
Thank you. You too. And then we'll hear from you on the LAPL zine vlog. I'll get to you about that.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you, Zeba, for joining us on Long Arm Stapler. I'm Mayra, and I'm available at longarmstapler.com. You can also find me on Instagram, longarmstapler with no vowels, and on Twitter at longarmstapler. Thanks for listening.